Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, December 18th, 2020. Coming up this hour,
the U.S. closes in on approval of a second vaccine.
Problems emerge in the distribution of shots as infections continue to surge.
Progress on stimulus talks, but still no deal as a midnight deadline approaches.
And a list of victims in a Russian cyber attack rose, ensnaring the U.S. agency in charge of nuclear weapons.
Mayor de Blasio eyes a shutdown of the city after Christmas. I'm John Tucker. The story straight ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Chargers beat the Raiders in overtime, and the Giants on Sunday will be without their play caller.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And U.S. futures are treading water this morning as we head into the final trading day of the week. We're coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 2 points this morning. Dow futures down 2, and NASDAQ futures down 3. The DAX in Germany is up 0.2%. CAC in Paris is up about 0.1%, and the FTSE 100 up 0.7%. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd, yield 0.93%, and the yield on the 2-year 0.12%. NYMEX crude oil, little change, down 2 cents at $48.34 a barrel. Nathan.
Karen, we start with the U.S. on the verge of approving a second coronavirus vaccine. A panel of experts has given its okay to Moderna's shot. Dr. Ofer Levy is head of the Precision Vaccine Program at Boston Children's Hospital and a member of the FDA advisory panel. He says the shot looks promising for a number of reasons.
There's a little bit of data in the Moderna folder about potentially protecting against asymptomatic infection. If that holds up with larger numbers, that would be important because then it might also reduce the risk that you spread the infection to somebody else if you're immunized.
Dr. Levy was a guest on Bloomberg Bay State Business, which is heard weekday afternoons on Bloomberg 1061 in Boston. The FDA could authorize Moderna's vaccine today. It showed a high rate of effectiveness in late-stage trials.
Meantime, many states are getting fewer shots than originally planned. Washington Governor Jay Inslee says his state's allocation for next week was cut by 40%.
The only thing you can be sure of when you have a massive logistical efforts like this, you probably could expect some glitches. This may be the first one. We'd love it to be the last one.
Inslee said he does not think it's a systemic long-term problem, and Pfizer claims it's not a production issue. Meantime, the pandemic continues to ravage parts of the country. Yesterday, more than 3,300 Americans died from the virus, while the U.S. reported another 234,000 infections.
Yeah, California is among the states reporting another record day for fatalities. That's accompanied by increasing strains on hospitals. Ed Baxter has the latest from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
379 deaths with over 52,000 new infections. The greater Los Angeles area is now the worst hit U.S. metro area in the nation. Hospitals mainly in the more rural areas are running over capacity. And in Apple Valley, Dr. Mon Dillon says he handled 10 cardiac arrests in a short period of time.
I've never seen so many code blues all in one shift.
The state has instituted what is called a mass fatality program, which coordinates mutual aid. San Francisco has issued a quarantine notice effective today. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thank you. There's still no pandemic relief bill as negotiators struggle through a handful of remaining issues. The holdup means a weekend session is now likely and a government shutdown cannot be ruled out. Still, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is hopeful a deal will get done.
We're going to stay right here, until we're finished, even if that means working through the weekend, which is highly likely.
On the other side of the aisle, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer also appears optimistic.
None of the remaining hurdles cannot be overcome. Everyone is committed to achieving a result, and we will not leave until we get the job done.
Negotiators are looking to pass stimulus as part of a massive spending bill. The government is currently operating on a stopgap funding that expires at midnight.
Well, another major story unfolding in Washington at this hour is the cyber attack by hackers with suspected ties to Russia. And now we're learning more about what and who might be compromised. Amy Morris has the latest from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
Sources tell Bloomberg News the Energy Department and National Nuclear Security Administration, which maintains America's nuclear stockpile, were also targeted, along with Homeland Security, Treasury, Commerce, and the State Department. Investigators believe the hackers installed malicious code in software from a company called SolarWinds, allowing them to remain undetected for years. U.S. cybersecurity officials say the hackers pose a widespread, grave risk, and President-elect Joe Biden has pledged retaliation when he takes office. President Trump has not publicly addressed the attack. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Amy, thank you. Tensions between the U.S. and China are back on the front burner. According to Reuters, the U.S. is set to blacklist dozens of Chinese companies, including the country's top chip maker, Semiconductor Manufacturer International. President Trump is reportedly looking to add around 80 more companies to the Commerce Department's entity list.
In the meantime, in the U.K., Brexit talks remain stalled. Britain's chief negotiator says time is running out to reach a deal, and Prime Minister Boris Johnson's warning talks will fail unless the EU backs off on fishing rights. Behind the scenes, though, officials say there is progress and the negative language could be a negotiating tactic.
And on the corporate front this morning, earnings from FedEx are disappointing. Shares are down 3% after FedEx failed to keep pace with soaring expectations. And this has a jump in costs crimped quarterly results. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett reports.
The adjusted operating margin was 7.4% in the company's fiscal second quarter, while significantly higher than a year ago. That trailed FedEx's 8.5% margin in the previous quarter. The cost squeeze is likely to spur investor doubts about FedEx's ability to reap the rewards of record demand for package deliveries. The company's biggest rival, United Parcel Service, sparked a sell-off in its own shares in October after predicting pressure from higher expenses. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. And coming up on the earnings front today, we get results from Nike this afternoon. Futures this morning are little changed. S&P futures up 3.5 points. Dow futures up 7. NASDAQ futures up 1. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 0.93%. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. It's 5:07 on Wall Street. Let's bring in John Tucker for the latest on what's happening in New York and around the world. Good morning, John.
And good morning, Nathan. Rising coronavirus cases and a stubbornly high infection rate means New York City may be moving to another shutdown. And Mayor Bill de Blasio says the period right after Christmas is a natural moment.
If we want to avoid restrictions, and I keep saying it, people want to avoid restrictions. I do. I want to avoid them. If you want to avoid them, anyone wants to avoid them, wear a mask, practice distancing, do not travel, do not have large gatherings.
Governor Cuomo would have the final say about another shutdown. The COVID-19 positivity rate is 5.7% in the city. Public hospitals in the city have canceled elective surgeries because of the increasing caseload. The pandemic slowdown in real estate deals has cost New York City $1.2 billion in lost revenues so far this year. Sales of commercial and residential properties are down 49% this year through November. That's led to a sharp decline in city tax revenue, according to the Real Estate Board of New York. New Jersey lawmakers have given their blessing to a marijuana marketplace. The story in this report from Bloomberg's Tom Busby.
The Democrat-led Assembly and Senate passed a measure setting up a timetable that could see recreational cannabis available in New Jersey in about 6 months. The legislation now goes to Governor Phil Murphy, who, along with lawmakers, reached an agreement on the legislation earlier this month. He's expected to sign the bill, though it's unclear when. New Jersey joins 15 other states and the District of Columbia with recreational marijuana. Voters in New Jersey overwhelmingly approved a constitutional amendment in November allowing for recreational marijuana for adults 21 and older. Cannabis will be subject to the state's 6.6% sales tax. Local towns can tack on another 2%. Tom Busby, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Joe Biden is responding to a federal investigation into Hunter Biden's tax matters and Republican calls for a special counsel investigation into his foreign dealings.
We have great confidence in our son. I am not concerned about any accusations been made against him. It's used to get to me. I think it's kind of foul play, but look, it is what it is.
Biden appeared with his wife in an interview with CBS late night host Stephen Colbert. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. We're powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, John, thanks. It's 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stashar.
Good morning, Nathan. The Las Vegas Raiders opened for an AFC wildcard playoff spot in last night's 30-27 overtime loss to the LA Chargers will not help. A game that was tied at 10 and then 17 and then 24. Vegas kicked a field goal in OT. Chargers won it on a Justin Herbert quarterback sneak with a minute and a half to go. His 53-yard pass set up the TD and the Chargers end a 9-game losing streak within the division. The Raiders fall to 7-7. They're a game and a half out for the playoffs. The Giants host Cleveland Sunday night. We don't know yet who the quarterback will be, whether Daniel Jones is healthy enough or if it'll be Colt McCoy, but we do know who will be calling the plays for the quarterback, and it will not be offensive coordinator Jason Garrett. He has COVID, so tight ends coach Freddie Kitchens will take over. He was Cleveland's head coach last season. More importantly, might be the loss of cornerback James Bradbury, who's on the COVID list. He's had a terrific season. Bradbury's tied for the league lead in broken up passes. Henrik Lundqvist will not play hockey this season after 15 years in goal for the Rangers. He signed with Washington, but has developed a heart condition.
I can say for the past 2 months, I felt so inspired and committed to prepare myself for this upcoming season. The daily skates and workouts and just the thought of playing in D.C. has really brought me lots of excitement. It's still very hard for me to process all of this and kind of shocking, to be honest.
Lundqvist said the risk of playing was too high. College hoops, Creighton all over St. John's, 94-76. The Red Storm dropped to 0-3 in the Big East. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
All right, John, thank you. Right now, S&P futures are higher by 3 points. Dow futures up 7. NASDAQ futures, little change. They're down a point right now. 10-year Treasury's down 1/32nd, yield 0.93%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.12%, with the U.S. on the verge of having two coronavirus vaccines. We'll talk about Moderna's shot next with Bloomberg Intelligence senior pharma analyst Sam Fazeli. This is Bloomberg. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Land Rover. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer or call 1-800-FIND-4WD for special offers at the Land Rover Season of Adventure sales event now through January 4th. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are little change this morning after closing at records yesterday. This as Congress works to complete a pandemic relief deal. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up about 3 points. Dow futures up 5. NASDAQ futures down 5. The DAX in Germany is up 0.2%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32nd, yield 0.93%, and the yield on the 2-year 0.12%. NYMEX crude oil, little change, down less than 0.1% or 3 cents at $48.33 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.33% or $6.80 at $18.83.60 an ounce. The euro, 1.2247 against the dollar. British pound, 1.3514. The yen at 103.54. And we're still watching Bitcoin. It's at $23,089. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. The U.S. on the verge of approving a second coronavirus vaccine. The FDA could authorize Moderna's vaccine today. Yesterday, more than 3,300 Americans died from the virus, while the U.S. reported another 234,000 infections. Still, no pandemic relief bill in Congress. Negotiators are struggling through a handful of issues. A weekend session is now likely. Sports, the Chargers beat the Raiders 30-27 in overtime. We have global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, John, thanks. It's 5:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. And as John mentioned, the U.S. is on the verge of having a second coronavirus vaccine approved for emergency use, with an advisory panel to the Food and Drug Administration recommending Moderna's shot. For the latest on this, we're joined by Bloomberg senior pharmaceutical analyst Sam Fazeli. Sam, great to have you on with us once again. And we've spoken before about the incredible speed at which these vaccines have not only been developed, but approved. Put this into context for us to just, you know, what how remarkable an achievement this is to have two vaccines potentially approved in this country this quickly.
Yeah, good morning, Nathan. So I think the speed, again, as we've discussed before, is a little illusory in that the science that went into getting this vaccine to here and also previous versions of a vaccine or vaccines that were developed for other coronaviruses, which I'm sure people remember, the MERS virus and SARS-CoV-1, have fed into this. But I think what's important to note here also is that there are more similarities between the data that have come out of these two completely different trials than there are differences. That should be certainly a tick in the box for people who worry about anyone having cut corners or any safety issues. What we know is that two completely different companies did their own trials and came up with very similar data sets. So that's really reassuring.
What are some of the main differences between the Pfizer and Moderna shots? Are there major differences?
Well, there are lots of minute differences, which could mean differences in the long-term durability of the vaccines, although I don't really expect that to be the case, or they might work slightly better in one group than another. But really, the difference that you and I would feel is that one requires a slightly a much lower temperatures for storage and distribution than the Moderna one. So that's the Pfizer-BioNTech one. That might mean, and that's going to be interesting watching this pan out over the next few weeks, that Moderna, who took Warp Speed money, see how they manage with their manufacturing and distribution. I'm sure everyone on this listening to the show has heard the issues that Pfizer has had and continue to have discussions with the U.S. government. See if Moderna does better, and because its cold chain is a little bit more amenable, whether that helps us get more doses quickly to people.
Now, you mentioned the issues that have been discussed in the recent days about some hiccups coming along in terms of distribution of Pfizer's vaccine. Is that a major concern that Pfizer might not be able to meet the supply benchmarks that it's promised?
Well, it's very difficult to read between the lines here. Our colleague Josh Wingrove has got a nice piece out yesterday looking at the details of what's going on with the doses promised and doses delivered from Pfizer-BioNTech. And certainly at the very beginning, there was a bit of an issue, and we know that. That was something to do with access to raw materials and manufacturing X number of doses or 50 million doses instead of 100 million available before the year end. So, but beyond that, it looks like that things are kind of back to normal, but there are many layers that have to fall in line with each other, many operations or areas that have to fall in line with each other for this to work seamlessly. And it's difficult. It's very, very complicated.
Do you think there's going to be a need to invoke the Defense Production Act to support Pfizer in this effort?
Well, it seems like that they're talking about that, and I'm not quite clear about what it is that they're asking for. If they have shortage of material, then one would assume that Moderna will have the same issue because the manufacturing process and much of the raw materials are similar between the two vaccines. But we've never heard them have a conversation about that, although they haven't yet shipped anything. So that's why I'm saying it would be very interesting to watch how Moderna manages, remembering Pfizer is an established vaccine company. Moderna is a new kid on the block. And that difference would be Operation Warp Speed, I think.
In our last minute here, Sam, I've heard some commentary, particularly from former acting CDC director Richard Besser, that having two vaccines that are similar to each other and that both need to be administered in two doses could lead to some complications if people come back for a different shot than they got the first time. Is that something that's a concern for you as well?
Well, yeah, logistically, you could imagine it could happen, and we don't really know what would happen if you did that. The FDA advisory committee yesterday has suggested that the companies or somebody does the study of seeing what happens if you take one vaccine first and then another one later. But the question is, we need to have the data. I would be very surprised if they cause different immune responses in the long term. So So that would be, but it'd be interesting.
Thanks for this. As always, Sam, great getting your insights as we await potential emergency use authorization, perhaps as soon as today, for the Moderna vaccine. Sam Fazeli is a senior pharmaceutical analyst for Bloomberg Intelligence. Looking at the markets this morning, mixed action, little change in the futures contracts on this Friday morning, with S&P futures up about a point right now. Dow futures down 6, NASDAQ futures down by 5 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak on this Friday morning. And it's brought to you by Land Rover. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer or call 1-800-FIND-4WD for special offers at the Land Rover Season of Adventure sales event now through January 4th. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. The U.S. is on the verge of approving a second coronavirus vaccine. A panel of experts has now given its okay to Moderna's shot. We get the very latest from Bloomberg pharmaceutical reporter Robert Langreth.
We're waiting for emergency use authorization from the FDA. We expect it to come, you know, promptly, like with Pfizer. So I would expect, given that they've already done this once and these are very similar vaccines, it would come at latest by tomorrow night. Just have to get the wording down on the language and the fact sheets, maybe add some new things about looking for allergies and being extra cautious with that. But there's nothing stopping this coming out tomorrow.
FDA advisors say the benefits of Moderna's vaccine outweigh the risks after shots showed a high degree of efficacy in late-stage trials.
Well, meantime, many states are getting fewer vaccine doses than originally planned. Washington State Governor Jay Inslee says his allocation for next week was cut by 40%.
It doesn't appear that it's a production problem, at least according to Pfizer at the moment.
Inslee says the holdup appears to be at the federal level. Meantime, the pandemic continues to ravage parts of the country. Yesterday, more than 3,300 Americans died from the virus, while the U.S. reported another 234,000 infections.
There's still no pandemic relief bill as negotiators work through a handful of issues. Both parties are optimistic they can strike a deal and avoid a partial government shutdown. The current plan calls for more than $900 billion in aid, but former Treasury Secretary Larry Summers says a bigger deal should be done.
I'm glad to see that stimulus is coming. I'm glad to see help for small business. I'm glad to see continuation of unemployment insurance. But this is not as good a bill as we could have had. Still, it's better than I expected 2 weeks ago, and we should be grateful for that.
Summers made the comments on Bloomberg's Wall Street Week, which you can catch tonight at 6 p.m. on Bloomberg Radio and Television.
The list of victims from that suspected Russian cyber attack is growing. Federal authorities now warn the hackers present a grave risk to state and local governments and to the private sector. Bloomberg News has learned at least three state governments were hacked. So is the U.S. Nuclear Weapons Agency.
And tensions between the U.S. and China are back on the front burner. According to Reuters, the U.S. is set to blacklist dozens of Chinese companies, including the country's top chip maker, Semiconductor Manufacturer International. Now let's get you up to date on how stocks are faring. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg and S&P futures. They're up about 2 points. Dow futures down 6. NASDAQ futures down 5. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 0.94%. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
Okay, Karen, thank you. It's 5:33 on Wall Street, and John Tucker has the latest on what's been happening in New York and around the world. John?
And good morning, Nathan. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio is eyeing the period right after Christmas for a shutdown of the city. He blames the rising number of coronavirus cases.
The number of cases is too high. The infection level is too high. The number of hospitalizations is too high. And unfortunately, it's just growing. I don't like restrictions. None of us likes restrictions. But I think we need them sooner rather than later.
Governor Andrew Cuomo would have the final say. He's already indicated a probable shutdown of the city in January. New Jersey lawmakers have passed a measure setting up a recreational marijuana marketplace. It sends the legislation to Governor Phil Murphy, who's expected to sign it. The legislation sets out a timetable that could see recreational cannabis available in New Jersey in about 6 months. Voters in the state overwhelmingly approved a constitutional amendment in November allowing for recreational marijuana. Georgia's GOP senators have lost a court fight. Amy Morris says more from the Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
A federal judge in Georgia rejected the lawsuit by the state's two Republican senators seeking to change the mail-in ballot signature verification rules for their January 5th runoff election. U.S. District Judge Eleanor Ross called their worries about voter fraud far too speculative. The campaigns of Senators David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler sought a court order that would force state election officials to have three people verify each signature and allow significantly more access to the canvassing process for partisan observers. The Georgia runoffs will determine control of the U.S. Senate. Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
President-elect Joe Biden has selected former Michigan Governor Jennifer Granholm, North Carolina environmental regulator Michael Regan, and Representative Deb Haaland of New Mexico to advance his climate policy. If confirmed, Granholm would be Secretary of Energy, Regan, Environmental Protection Agency Administrator, and Haaland, Secretary of the Interior. If confirmed, Haaland would be the first Native American in a U.S. cabinet post. And Donald Trump has appointed a slew of prominent aides, supporters, and fundraisers to federal advisory boards since losing re-election. Roughly three dozen Trump allies have received appointments to federal boards and commissions in recent weeks, including some who bring no apparent expertise to the posts. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. We're powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. And this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, John, thanks. It's 5:35 on Wall Street. John Stashower has the Bloomberg Sports Update.
All right, thanks, Nathan. Thursday night football, the kickoff week 15. And overtime in Las Vegas, the L.A. Chargers, who've lost so many close games over the last two seasons, pulled this one out. 30-27, their rookie quarterback Justin Herbert scored the game-winning touchdown. He had his seventh 300-yard passing game of the season. He tied the rookie record for TD passes. The Chargers are 5-9. The Raiders fall to 7-7. They've lost four of their last five. Giants go into this big game Sunday night against Cleveland without one of their best players and without their offensive coordinator. Cornerback James Bradberry on the COVID list, and Jason Garrett has the virus. So a new play caller, Freddie Kitchens, who's the tight ends coach, the head coach, is Joe Judge.
It's really been a cooperative effort throughout the season anyway with the offensive staff along with the defensive staff. We all work together on the same page. You know, we've built in opportunities through training camp and practice periods this season where different coaches have had to call plays just for this exact situation.
And Kitchens has called plays. In fact, did it for the Browns the last 2 years. He was their offense coordinator, and last year he was their head coach. Colorado manager Bud Black shut down the rumor that the Rockies were trying to gauge the Mets in talks to send star third baseman Nolan Arenado to New York. Will there be another blockbuster trade in the NBA? James Harden wants out of Houston. The Athletic reports the Rockets talking to Philadelphia about Harden for Ben Simmons. College hoops, St. John's fell to 0-3 in the Big East, lost at home to Creighton 94-76. Blue Jays shot 57%. University of Houston ranked 6th in the country but hasn't played in 2 weeks. The Cougars have 15 players on the team. All 15 have COVID. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Wow. Thank you, John. It is 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report. Here with that is Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
At Manhattan's hotels, there are a few signs of the usual holiday festivities. The Plaza is shuttered, so is the St. Regis and its famed King Cole Bar, usually a source of Christmas cheer. Even hotels that are open are watching occupancy rates drop as COVID-19 cases surge. New Yorkers banned from dining inside their neighborhood restaurants are crossing state and city lines. To persuade diners to visit their other locations, New York City business owners are offering promotions and shifting workers to New Jersey, Connecticut, and other parts of New York State. Well, Times Square hasn't lost its cachet with foreign investors. TSX Broadway, a $2.5 billion mixed-use project in the heart of Manhattan, has attracted more than $100 million from foreign investors who back real estate developments in return for U.S. visas, according to a person familiar with the matter. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
Okay, Ed, thank you. It's 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KFAB in Omaha. The pandemic is starting to hit North American meat plants again.
I'm Caroline Hepcom, Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on warnings from the UK that Brexit talks are blocked.
I'm Steve Potisk, and on 1010 Winds in New York, we're talking about how plummeting real estate sales have cost the city more than $1 billion.
I'm Ed Corey on WTAM in Cleveland. I'm reporting Lake Health will become part of University Hospital.
Those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Now, coming up today, Nike reports fiscal second quarter earnings with a return to positive trends expected. Bloomberg's Larry Kofsky has a preview.
After two consecutive quarters of declining revenue, analysts are expecting Nike to report a year-over-year gain of about 2%. U.S. and China performance, inventory levels, and digital sales commentary are all key areas that Wall Street will be watching. Analysts are forecasting a profit of 62 cents per share on revenue of more than $10.5 billion. Bloomberg Intelligence expects management to share some insight on early holiday season trends and its view on sporting events as we head into 2021. Larry Kofsky, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Larry. In other earnings news, FedEx has failed to keep up with Wall Street's soaring expectations. A jump in costs hurt profit margins in the fiscal second quarter, spurring doubts about how much FedEx will cash in from record package deliveries. In the pre-market, shares of FedEx are down 3%. Royal Philips has agreed to buy U.S.-based BioTelemetry for $2.8 billion. That lets the Dutch company expand in wearable heart monitors. Demand is surging for Philips equipment that allows doctors and nurses to provide real-time care over the cloud. And a judge in Silicon Valley has shredded Oracle's latest effort to get a pay equity suit dismissed. The judge issued a tentative ruling rejecting all of Oracle's arguments. The class action suit charges that Oracle has a history of paying women less than men for the same work. Futures moving lower now. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Land Rover. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer or call 1-800-FIND4WD for special offers at the Land Rover Season of Adventure sales event now through January 4th. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures, little change this morning after closing at records yesterday. This is Congress works to complete a pandemic relief deal. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures, again, little change. Dow futures down 13. NASDAQ futures are down 11. The DAX in Germany is little change. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 0.94%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.12%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.25% or 13 cents at $48.23 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.3% or $5.60 at $18.84.80 an ounce. The euro, 1.2256 against the dollar. British pound, 1.3518. The yen 103.49, and Bitcoin is at $23,000 and at $23,000 even now. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John.
And good morning, Karen. Congress has until midnight to pass a relief aid package as part of a spending bill or rush another stopgap to keep the government funded at least through the weekend. The pandemic continues to ravage parts of the nation. Yesterday, more than 3,300 Americans died from the virus. Meantime, many states are getting fewer vaccine doses than originally planned. And in sports, the Chargers beat the Raiders 30-27 in overtime. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. We're powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, John, thanks. It's 548 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. And speaking of overtime, let's talk stimulus with Greg Valliere, Chief U.S. Policy Strategist at AGF Investments. It's not even infrastructure week now in Washington, Greg. It's stimulus week, it seems, every other week. What is the holdup with this agreement?
Yeah, Nathan, this gives dysfunction a bad word. I mean, it just is going to go on probably for another 2 or 3 days. I think they'll have to do another extension around midnight tonight. to prevent a government shutdown. It could be Monday before they have an agreement in principle. It could be Christmas Eve, Nathan, before we get an actual bill enacted.
Well, there's been some talk I've heard that the lawmakers might not need to pass a quick stopgap to try to get this done. Is that a possibility as well? And if so, what impact would that have?
Very unlikely they would go in that direction. There's so many moving parts in the stimulus bill that I think you have to wrap it up. And in truth, most everything has been agreed upon. There's a new snag, and that is an attempt by a lot of Republicans to deny the Federal Reserve an opportunity to claw back some of the money they had to give to Treasury and reestablish some of their lending facilities. That's a nasty fight, and that's going to take a few days to resolve.
Yeah, that was one provision in particular I wanted to ask you about. Is that something new in the negotiations? Had that been a part of this agreement before, or are Republicans moving the goalposts here?
It's new. There was a lot of grumbling when Treasury Secretary Mnuchin decided to do this. I mean, the Democrats are saying this is an attempt to hamstring Biden when he becomes president. If the economy doesn't snap back, maybe we would need more money for the Fed. This would make it a lot more difficult for Biden to do that.
So what is the possibility that we could see this drag out for some time? Is there a likelihood that we could see even more sort of last-minute sticking points arise here?
Yeah, there could be the precise amounts of what the income level is to qualify for a subsidy check, things like that. It could drag on. It could drag on until early next week. I still feel the odds are very, very good, maybe 80% that we'll get this done. But it could take several more days.
Well, what do you think it ends up looking like? Do we have some of these provisions like matching FEMA funds for pandemic-related expenses and even that Fed emergency lending facilities running out at the end of the year, having that be a part of this bill? Or will we just see some of the major provisions we've heard about, like stimulus checks and enhanced unemployment benefits, that sort of thing?
Yeah, we'll get the latter, and I think we'll also get a big chunk of money for small businesses. I mean, to look at the big picture, Nathan, I think this is still a positive development. $900 billion is nothing to sneeze at. $900 billion for just 4 months, with the possibility that there could be another bill, if necessary, by late winter. So I think we should take it. It's far from perfect. But the bottom line to me is that it greatly reduces the chances of a first quarter recession.
All right, we'll see how things go perhaps into the weekend. But in the time we have left, Greg, I want to get your take on this major cyber breach, that the scope of which seems to be expanding almost by the day as we learn more about it. Possible links to Russia here. How significant is this?
This is a huge story. Somebody has to be held accountable. It's extended apparently to a lot of Microsoft clients. It's extended to a dozen or so major federal government agencies, including the one that has control over nuclear weapons. This is a very, very big deal. In fact, I'd even go as far to say that this will be one of Joe Biden's biggest crises in 2021.
Well, how can Russia be held accountable if it is indeed found that Russia-linked hackers are behind this breach? In the past, sanctions have been the weapon. What more can be done?
Yeah, it's probably going to be sanctions. Western Europe has sanctions. The U.S. has some. They may have to be tightened. But this is so outrageous, it has to be dealt with. Frankly, I think behind the scenes, the U.S. may begin hacking on Russia. And how ironic, the next real global crisis is not a military confrontation. It's a technological computer confrontation that could really intensify.
And there's a report in the New York Times this morning that the defense policy bill that President Trump, of course, has threatened to veto over the last couple of weeks includes a provision that could allow multiple government agencies to have more weapons to try to prevent cyber attacks like this. What is a congressional role in trying to prevent this in terms of defense policy?
Well, I had thought incorrectly over the last few months that we might see a leveling off of defense spending. I mean, we're spending $750 billion a year, but I don't see any cut or even leveling off on defense spending. I think that Biden, who would like to spend the money elsewhere, is going to have to spend a lot of money for the Pentagon.
Multiple crises, the pandemic and cybersecurity. Greg Valier of AGF Investments, thank you for your perspective on all these issues coming out of Washington this morning. Karen?
All right, Nathan, thank you. It's 5:54 on Wall Street, and as lawmakers on Capitol Hill haggle over stimulus terms, there's no doubt that the money is sorely needed. Small businesses have fought hard to survive over the past 9 months, and now with infections surging again, new lockdowns and restrictions point to a challenging winter. The impact cuts even deeper for minority-owned businesses, which have so far borne the worst of the pandemic. For a closer look at that divide, let's head to a small neighborhood in San Diego in this special report from Bloomberg's Viviana Hurtado.
The comeback for businesses in the predominantly Mexican-American neighborhood of Barrio Logan in San Diego is a case study in white-knuckling grit against the odds of decades of unequal access to capital. COVID's impact is threatening this entrepreneurial ecosystem that flourished during the decade leading up to the pandemic.
We lost that sense of community. The barrio was empty. There was no one coming out.
David Favela founded Border X Brewing in 2014. He built the brewery into a $1.8 million annual business by 2019. The latest economic expansion saw the unemployment rate for Hispanics drop to a record low. The number of Latino business owners had risen much faster than the nation's average. But a closer look reveals, on average, minority entrepreneurs were more likely to be financially distressed before the crisis. They're also less equipped to cope with a long-term downturn.
I feel like anyone from San Diego comes to walk the block, and there's a lot of people that just come here because of how unique Barrio Logan is.
Claudia Bizunski Rodriguez helped launch Walk the Block Saturdays in Barrio Logan. She was frustrated that businesses from the wealthy enclave of La Jolla, 15 miles away, were getting million-dollar stimulus loans while most businesses in Barrio Logan got nothing.
We were like, let's do it. Let's make sure that we could bring people back into the community so they could come and help support all these small businesses, and we'll see what happens. It was an amazing turnout.
The Outdoor Business Bazaar has helped save Claudia's fashion boutique, Soloca. A few doors down, Favela is among the few Barrio Logan businesses that receive federal stimulus loans. He kept Border X open from the dark days of April when his income completely disappeared. Walk the Block has been a success for his business.
Financially, it had a 2 to 3x impact on our sales and gave us hope that we could, relying on each other and working together, actually find a way to survive this COVID pandemic.
Favela says he's exploring selling 49% of his business to investors to recapitalize and save his breweries. But funds are running low for him and millions of other small businesses as surging COVID cases and the prospects of new restrictions add to uncertainty. Viviana Hurtado, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Viviana, thank you for that report. Futures this morning, they're little change with S&P futures up 3 points, Dow futures up 7, and NASDAQ futures down about 8, and the 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 0.94%, and the yield on the 2-year 0.12%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.25% or 13 cents at $48.23 a barrel. And our top stories are straight ahead as Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.